On this episode of the podcast, we are joined by our partners FreshPaint to talk about the future of healthcare analytics, the latest updates, and how you should be evaluating your website and patient experience. Thank you for clicking play on Eye on Digital Marketing. A few housekeeping items before we dive into our episode today. Don't forget you can follow us on social media at More Visibility, all one word. And please subscribe, like, follow the podcast wherever you are listening. You can visit our site, morevisibility.com, and you can have plenty of access to more resources, podcasts, blogs, white papers, webinars, and more. I am also going to leave some links within the podcast description for you all to check out, featuring an exclusive Olympic campaign that we are running until September 8th with our partner FreshPaint. You can visit our landing page there and get a free consultation. In fact, you have options on which types of consultation items you would like for your website, and you get a personal video from an Olympian as well. Check that out. Episode 69 is a virtual conversation between Ray Mina and Matt Crowley. Ray is the Vice President of Marketing at our partner FreshPaint, and Matt Crowley, who's been on the podcast many times, is our very own Senior Vice President of Digital. I am joined today by two gentlemen who are recently on an episode of the podcast, and they're back again, Ray Mina and Matt Crowley. I want to turn it over to them just to introduce themselves very quickly and their roles at the companies they work for before we dive into our conversation today. So, Ray, I'll go ahead and pass the torch over to you.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be back, and thanks for having me back, Chuck. So I'm Ray Mina. I'm the VP of Marketing at FreshPaint. We help marketers in healthcare deliver high-performance results while keeping privacy in mind, taking a privacy-first approach. And I don't have any background in healthcare marketing. I do have a background in B2B SaaS and using a lot of the tools like Google Ads and Facebook Ads to drive growth. So really innately understand the challenge that healthcare marketers face of making sure they get data to those tools, the conversion data they need, but also now this friction of like, oh my gosh, I've got PHI and all this other stuff to consider.
Absolutely. Matt?
Yeah, my name is Matt Crowley. I'm the Senior Vice President of Digital at More Visibility. So my role encompasses overseeing and leading the different directors and department heads in charge of all of the work that we do on behalf of our clients for search engine optimization, all digital advertising, analytics and measurement, as well as design and development. And we work across a wide swath of many different verticals, but healthcare, as well as some other tangentially related industries to our focus of our conversation today, like finance and banking and other areas that have a lot of privacy regulation as well. We work with a lot of clients across those areas that have an impact on both advertising and the data that's used for that advertising, as well as the measurement and analysis of data that comes through from the website, from advertising, from SEO, email, other efforts as well. So we work with a lot of healthcare organizations to help understand how they can do all of these activities in a way that's best for all stakeholders involved, of which, you know, regulators are going to be one, as well as, you know, their users and patients and potential patients. And so, you know, we've had a long partnership with FreshPaint, especially on the advertising and analytics side, to, you know, recommend them to our healthcare partners and clients as a great resource to, you know, leverage the technology in a way that they can still, you know, get great results out of their advertising and measurement efforts.
Absolutely. And we actually are engaged in a great campaign at the moment with FreshPaint for the 2024 Olympic Games, which we'll touch on before the podcast is over. So a lot of healthcare marketers tuned into the last episode. A lot will be listening to this episode. So gentlemen, I wanted to start off by reading you a headline from an article that was published back in June. And excuse me, just like last podcast, I'm going to go ahead and dip into my bag of acronyms here right off the bat, but I want to read you the headline of this article and kind of start there, because I think in our
pre-conversation before we started this episode. It was a place where we wanted to start, but really have you both kind of elaborate on what the implications are. So the headline reads, judge rules in favor of AHA, American Hospital Association, vacating HHS online tracking bulletin. If you remember from last episode, HHS, Department of Health and Human Services. Judge rules in favor of AHA vacating HHS online tracking bulletin as unlawful and beyond agency authority. Ray, I thought you said it really well before we hopped on the podcast of how this headline can kind of make it seem like the judge brought the hammer down, right? But maybe, Ray, if you want to start off with what exactly does this mean and how should people really think about this latest ruling in terms of their website for healthcare?
Now, I'm about to do myself no favors with media. Probably PR team's going to kill me, but like, this is just lazy reporting. Because when what you just read to me, it indicates that like web tracker guidance from HHS is like null and void. Yeah. And that's not what happened. Like Matt and I know very well, like most of our customers, their use cases are using digital ad tech, like Facebook and Google Ads, for example, or measuring results using something like Google Analytics. Those things rely on like HIPAA identifiers, like ad click ID or device ID to even make the data set work. Like those are minimum requirements. The guidance that the judge struck down, he called it the prescribed combination, was simply IP address as an identifier. Like IP address is like maybe for some retargeting stuff, but like for direct response ads and analytics, really not that important. So if you read that and you're like, oh, cool, it's all good, put the metapixel back on your site, in a way, the media is doing you a disservice because you might find yourself in, you know, a lawsuit or being fined by HIPAA. So I just think it was really irresponsible reporting, and the way that people push that out just created a lot of confusion and put folks at risk. So please, if you're in marketing, continue that relationship with compliance and legal internally. Keep having the conversation and make sure that they're helping you get into the nuance of this, because HIPAA hasn't gone away. Like web tracking guidance exists, and the judge didn't go purposely didn't go all the way to basically say like you know HHS can't enforce this guidance anymore. So right. Again, you got to talk to legal and compliance. This is their job, and make sure you understand the nuance of it.
Matt, are you seeing anything different on the client side from working with many companies and clients here at More Visibility?
Yeah, I mean, I would say there's a few things that jumped out to me, you know, when this news came out and thinking about it and having some conversations since then. Number one, I would say, you know, personally, I'm happy that there's some challenging going on to the rulings that are coming out. While, you know, I certainly personally am fully in favor of, you know, the government's role to help protect, you know, patient privacy and them taking actions to do so, for sure, that's really critically important. You know, one of the things that really took aback a lot of our healthcare clients when this news came out is it was such a surprise to them. Not that there was ongoing and there would be future regulation in a privacy-centric environment, but the specific, really detailed technical nature of the guidance was a surprise, and we and some of our clients didn't agree with certain components of it, like the IP address piece. You know, one of the things that came out of the ruling from the judge is basically, you know, it's not really reasonable to expect that IP address can be used in the way that the guidance really kind of said it could be, to identify like a very specific user and like what their, and you know, tie that to their intent. And so I'm glad that there's some, you know, pushback from healthcare organizations to challenge the guidance here so that it can be a much more, you know, hopefully over time, less antagonistic, but more mutually agreed upon set of regulations. I think that's really important, because in all of the conversations that we've ever had with our healthcare clients to leverage this data, it's always been like, how do we surface, you know, the services that patients need to get the right services to the right people? How do we make sure that communities understand what they have available to them? How do we provide a great user experience so that the people that are looking for something find the right pages, find the right content, you know, get the right services, et cetera? And so, well, some of these things can make it a little bit more challenging to do that without the use of technology like FreshPaint. So on one hand, you know, I'm glad that there's some challenging going on, and I'm glad that some of the challenges are being heard from a legal standpoint. But I 100% agree with what Ray said, that, you know, ultimately this was a very, very, very narrow decision about, you know, a very specific technical component, and it doesn't change the overarching direction. You know, luckily we haven't had any of our clients make those assumptions. And a lot of what our conversations have been are to look towards the future, not just chase the news that's happening day to day, you know, which has a lot of correlation to what happens in advertising and SEO. You know, with SEO, it can be very easy to chase every algorithm update that happens from Google, but you're really losing the forest for the trees compared to if you say, okay, well, what is Google's ultimate goal? Where are they heading, you know, over the next 5 years or so? And how do we kind of meet them there and then hopefully benefit from the changes in the interim? There's this really broad, you know, direction that the, you know, both the federal and state governments are heading from a privacy regulation standpoint. And this doesn't change any of that at the end of the day. So I think it's really important also to not just let the individual news sway you on the path that you should be heading, you know, which we've talked a lot about before, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about today. So there were a lot of other things that I'm sure we'll talk about that struck me, but those were a couple, you know, big picture pieces.
Yeah, no, that's great information. And I agree. Once you dive into the article a little bit, I think it starts to become clear that the headline may not represent what's actually going on. Maybe a question for both of you to chime in, but it seems like there's a lot of crossover right now, especially with healthcare marketers and legal teams. You know, I personally have not worked directly with clients for a couple years since I've been on the corporate marketing side, but Ray, Matt, are you seeing that kind of synergy between legal and marketing becoming, for healthcare marketers, becoming almost essential to not only stay on top of, you know, news and things like this that come out, but again, creating that blueprint and where are we going for the future to make sure that we're covering all of our bases here?
There's something that Matt said that I totally agree with, which is that a lot of our customers, this really didn't change anything about how they're moving forward, because the smart organizations who are staying ahead of this, like we're almost at the 2 year mark of the original guidance. So the surprise is over, right? Like we kind of know the lay of the land, and they're not shifting their focus because they recognize that they need to be in a spot where consumers feel like that brand is doing the most for their health, for their privacy, their health privacy, versus just doing the bare minimum. And this, your question about legal and compliance, this is super critical moment because, you know, Matt put it well, like, do you want to keep reacting to the news, or do you want to get your place? You want to get yourself in a durable position that no matter what happens, because it's not just HIPAA. It's, you know, if you're for profit, it's FTC. If you operate in certain states, there's 19 now that have even more strict privacy rules, and there are HIPAA exemptions, but like if parts of HIPAA are struck down, then is that an exemption anymore? Probably not legally. And then there's all these archaic things like Video Privacy Protection Act that like are the levers used for class action lawsuits. So you kind of have to get to a place where you create a foundation so that you don't have to constantly look over your shoulder while you're trying to do the stuff Matt talked about, which is like create a better website experience. Help your patients convert more easily to the care they need. Like the consumerization of healthcare is taken a decade to try to get there. The last thing a lot of these brands need in highly competitive markets is to have to go backwards. So you really do need a super strong partnership with legal and compliance to help figure out what is the best way to build the foundation so you can move forward. Like you may have brand recognition in your market, but if you have a terrible experience, I guarantee you, the big brand down the street has brand preference, and that's going to hurt your market share over time. So you just can't afford to pump the brakes at this point.
For sure. And I would double down on that. I mean, we are seeing, you know, especially in the advertising space, markets become increasingly competitive that, you know, used to not be very competitive. And it's also a very fragmented marketplace where you have, you know, freestanding clinics in some cases that are competing with these health systems and individual service lines and areas like imaging. And so geographic changes we see, you know, we're down in the South Florida area. We see health systems from New York coming down here because of, you know, a lot of the migration that's happened of people from the Northeast to the Southeast in our particular case. So both health systems moving into new geographies that they weren't before, competing with health systems that aren't used to competing with those, as well as, you know, a fragmentation at the individual service line level as well. So that, you know, branding and user experience are really critical pieces. And to what Ray said, you want to make sure you're partnering with legal and that they're not just going to be the person that says no at the table to doing the new things that are going to be most impactful to, you know, helping that organization, you know, accomplish its goals of delivering oftentimes, you know, healthcare, the right healthcare to the right people who need it most.
Amen.
Matt, you mentioned sorry, go ahead, Ray.
Oh, no,
I said amen. Like I'm here for it. Like what Matt says is absolutely spot on. It's your first order problem as a healthcare marketer is not privacy. Like if you're good at what you do, you care about you have empathy for your consumers, like you should care about that. But your first order problem is everything Matt said. Like my job is to like create an amazing experience. Let's get it out of the way. Like consumer in healthcare is not a bad word. You are marketing to consumers in very similar way that those consumers are being reached by brands that are like spending an enormous amount of design and engineering money to make their experience perfect and have no friction. And if you're anything but that in 2024, consumers see that they're spoiled by these other experiences, and it's a negative impact on all the KPIs that you have, right? Like acquisition, retention, LTV, the customer acquisition cost, all these things like that you're racing to try to improve. You gotta focus on that stuff. So like you gotta get the privacy thing out of the way once and for all, as opposed to making it a nuisance that you react to like every quarter, so you can just keep building that foundation.
And I think, you know, to kind of go back to that, like, you know, the sort of dirty words type area, I think that also, you know, something that I think gets overlooked a lot is, you know, how much and to what degree individuals say they value their privacy versus the actions that they take. And you see this a lot and have seen this a lot with, you know, the big tech like Facebook, where people, if you survey them, will say, my privacy is really important. But then they'll, on a moment's notice, accept whatever terms and conditions any platform puts in front of them. In half a second, they just, the button pops up and they say, I don't even care enough to read a single word of this. I'm just going to accept whatever they want to do with my data. And so you see this dichotomy between what people say they care about with privacy and then what the actions are that they actually take. And then at the end of the day, they care when something bad happens, when their privacy becomes you know, negatively impacted, and someone takes advantage of that data or that trust that they've, you know, maybe too loosely shared. And so in the case of healthcare, you know, it is in a similar capacity that what we've talked a lot about is there's very, you know, noble goals that all these organizations have, and the data helps them accomplish that. But that doesn't stop a cyber attack from happening and, you know, data being leaked. That doesn't stop a third party platform like Google from doing something negative with that data that the healthcare organization had no idea that they could even do or intended to do. And so, you know, there is a balance there between also, you know, what, you know, what patients want, which is, you know, to be able to use a healthcare website like they use any other, you know, SaaS app on their phone. And they want to be able to make an appointment just like they request an Uber, or, you know, order food from DoorDash. But, you know, a lot of those technologies require, you know, more sophisticated uses of data in many cases. And so it becomes this really complex web where what we were saying earlier is really important, that the partnership between all of these different stakeholders like legal is really critical. You know, I guess just kind of going back to where I started, I think it's important to not lose sight of the fact that there are pieces of data that are tied to individuals that help organizations accomplish what they want to and help those users have a much better experience, and that it shouldn't just be a all or nothing approach to how this data is used. So I think that, you know, it's important to not lose sight of that. You know, what is the user and patient, what do they actually think about their privacy, and, you know, how are they okay or not okay with certain data being used? That hasn't really been much of a focus of the conversation here.
Yeah, this is great. Taking some nuggets from both of you from the things you've said here in the conversation recently, we have come so far. We definitely don't want to take a step back. We know that healthcare expands into different geographies, you know, around the country. Are we potentially thinking about the future? Are we moving, or do we have to move to a place where there's more universal standards, universal laws for these type of things? It seems very much people are not, maybe not on their own island is the right word, but a little bit piecemealed. Could, like you said, I think, Ray, you brought up the example of, like, you're going to lose patients, you're going to lose business if you're not up to what your competitor is doing in your market. And that could just be a function of you not having the right team in place, or potentially reading a headline like I started off this podcast with and not understanding the true implications. Are we moving to some type of universal, you know, rule book for healthcare marketers, or is that probably a long time away?
Do you mean like universal as like a federal, one federal law that basically like gives you like the rules, or are we talking,
or is that even possible?
Yeah. I mean, there's actually like a bill in Congress right now that is exactly that, which would be to take like what the states are trying to do and make it a federal law. So it's super consistent. But as we've seen over the last 2 years, it's just, there's so many nuances. There's so much of a changing landscape. Let's assume that we're not going to get there. So then when I think about a playbook for healthcare marketers, I think what we know, what is in common with a lot of these rules, is they just don't want you to share. HIPAA calls it PHI, but it's basically like this deep level context about, it's Chuck and Chuck is doing this kind of stuff with his healthcare. I think the best starting point is the universal playbook is just try not to share that data so freely with third party tools. So like moving away from this universe, like fact, before December 2022 guidance, every healthcare website in America, okay, maybe there's 2% that didn't, they were in this world of third-party data. Let me just put the Metapixel, let me put the native trackers all over my website, all over the website, and just freely share whatever data those platforms want to take. That's probably not a great, like, that's probably not a great thing for a heavily regulated industry. So maybe the new starting point is shift away from that. Don't have those native trackers, harvest the data yourself in some way, and then choose only the minimum data set that those tools need to do their job. So the good news is like there are ways, FreshPaint's one of them, but there's a lot of ways you could do this. There are ways where you can have your cake and eat it too. You can deliver these high performance, great experiences without sharing the sensitive data set. Like those tools don't need the whole smorgasbord. You know what I mean? They might just need Toast to operate. And they're getting the entire smorgasbord because those web trackers are designed to be supercomputers, like sucking up as much data as they can get. It's in the interest of these $250 billion a year advertising businesses like Google and Facebook. But you don't have to do that. You actually don't need to send them as much. I think that's the, I think I wouldn't rely as much on what's going to happen legally. I would rely more on like, because you can, I would rely more on creating a playbook that just minimizes the data sharing where it doesn't need to go.
Yeah, I think, you know, from our perspective, we talk a lot about it from the perspective of intentionality, if I were to use one word to sum it up. And, you know, when we're working on whatever it may be, you know, a measurement strategy or an advertising strategy or an SEO strategy, you know, one of our philosophical approaches is to do it with intentionality and not just throw something out there for the sake of it. And, you know, it almost goes back to the, you know, just clicking the button and not reading any of the terms. Like, you just throw stuff on your site and you just don't even think about it. It became so easy that that was just like a Pavlovian response as, hey, new ad platform, throw the tracker on the site. As opposed to, hey, what should we actually focus on measuring and optimizing towards and being very intentional with that, which sort of side note was one of the reasons why, you know, when we were looking for solutions to this problem, FreshPaint really stuck out to us was because of the default nature that nothing gets sent until you specifically have to go through and say, yes, let's send this data, which aligned very much with our philosophy as opposed to send everything and you can just kind of tailor back some pieces here and there where you want to tailor back. That intentionality, I think, is a really critical component.
Agree. Have your cake and eat it too. That might be our next campaign slogan there. What from just a client standpoint, like there's people listening to this podcast who do not have perhaps the team of More Visibility and FreshPaint and the minds and the ability to think ahead into the future like we're talking about here now. This entire conversation could be a great case of why you should, you know, want and need a partnership like that if you're a healthcare client. But do you all have any recent examples of how having a partnership with a healthcare provider has helped them because they are unsure in these times of where to go? Because a lot of people who listened to the last podcast, that was some of the feedback we got, which is great. But like, I'm in this position of flux. How do I go to my legal team, my executive team, and make a case that we need to have more attention on this or we're going to be left behind? We need to elevate our game. Are there any recent examples of how your partnership has helped the clients?
Yeah, I can go first there. I think, you know, I think this is probably like the one thing that Ray and I have talked about the most when we've spoken in the past was to take a proactive approach to this as opposed to a reactive one, which we touched on today. And using this as an opportunity to say, not just, hey, here's how we mitigate risk, but to say, here's how we can accomplish our goals in the future, meaning over the next few years, which is often growth-focused goals. And in many cases with healthcare, it's with same or limited budgets. And to do that while also, you know, protecting the privacy and being very intentional with the data that we share. And there have been many cases where this opened up that conversation, you know, and it might be time to plan next fiscal year's budgets, for example, and to say, hey, rather than just we need to, you know, add X amount of time, people and software to solve this OCR guidance problem, it's how do we come together between all of these different stakeholders, including legal, and what are our organizational goals and objectives? And then how do we achieve those with these constraints? Because there's always some amount of constraints. And so it's still focusing on how there can be, you know, an ROI, so to speak, achieved, but doing it with these new partnerships, new stakeholders alignment, and then also, you know, some of these new constraints, which should still be broadly thought of, like Ray talked about, in terms of where the privacy landscape is heading in the future, not a constraint like, well, how do we just stop sharing IP address?
I think right. One of the things I've noticed, Chuck, that's universal is if you're a healthcare marketer listening to this, the first question you need to ask yourself is how important is digital marketing to me? Like if you're mostly just doing like billboards and like, you know, in real world kind of like out of home advertising, then maybe this conversation is less valuable to you. But most of the people that Matt and I are talking to, digital marketing is super important, especially because resources are flat and scarce for marketers in healthcare, and they need to be able to draw a direct line to the results. And the beauty of some of these platforms like Google Search Ads and even Microsoft and Facebook is you can do that. They're like really, really good at driving conversion. So if you're after like filling your clinics or your offices with patients, those platforms are really good at that. So that's your first step. If that's important to you, then you need to do two things to continue to prove the ROI. You need to be able to measure it, aka analytics. And if you can't send the right data and you can't see if they're converting or not, you can't prove your worth. And then second, forget about measuring. These platforms rely on data and machine learning to serve you more conversions at a certain cost, right? So if you have fixed metrics and you're trying to land patients at $50 a pop and you stop sharing data, we have customers who saw their customer acquisition costs go up by as much as 8x. So I guarantee you, if you go to your CFO and you say that $50 patient now costs $400, you're out of those channels. Like they're not going to continue to give you the budget. So if you're looking for a way to create an ROI with your leadership, is ask those questions first and then do some analysis of what would happen if your CAC, your customer acquisition cost, doubled, quadrupled, went up by 8x. For most, 2x isn't going to be sustainable, let alone 8x. And that's where your ROI conversation starts, because if you're spending $1 million on digital ads, I'm just making up a number, and your CAC goes up by 8x, you got to spend $8 million now to get the same result. You're not getting that. You're not getting that budget.
For sure. And also, you know, very specifically, call tracking was a big one that we saw with clients where, you know, even if the actual numbers themselves don't change, they're artificially, the acquisition cost artificially increases dramatically if you stop call tracking, because there are so many people in healthcare that reach a page and still call and they don't schedule. I mean, there's so many organizations we work with that have online scheduling challenges with having, you know, they don't have the either technology or access or people or whatever to do online scheduling universally. I mean, that's extraordinarily rare that that's the case. So phone calls are still a really big component. And if you have ads driving to a page where someone calls and that data is not computed into your, you know, your conversion tracking, then it's like anybody that looks at that campaign and those raw numbers without understanding that will just say like, there's no way we can spend this. It doesn't make any sense. But you're missing out on what could sometimes be 75% of your conversions, which are calls. So those are really, I think, really great points.
Absolutely. We are in interesting times, but I would say exciting times for healthcare marketing. Gentlemen, I definitely don't want to cut this conversation short. I do try and keep our podcasts within that half hour window. We're about up on time now. So was there anything else that either of you wanted to add to anything, any topic of conversation that we've had today before we conclude and then share some good resources and some links with the listener in the podcast description as well?
I would just add one point, which was, you know, kind of reflecting on all this, I thought I laughed. I probably shouldn't have laughed, but I laughed a little bit, was sort of the argument from the other side of the, so you had basically the AHA and the other plaintiffs who, you know, initiated the lawsuit that we've been talking about. And then you had the Office of Civil Rights basically on the other side, to keep it simple. And one of the arguments that the OCR was making was that the guidance wasn't a final agency action, and that it therefore couldn't be, or shouldn't be challenged in a court of law. And I just thought that was, to me, I laughed because not a single one of our clients reacted as though that was not final. Everyone took action based on the guidance. And so I think that just goes back to, you know, we talk so much about partnering within the organization to overcome these challenges and all of that. And I think that's just, I am hopeful that in the future, there will be more partnership with the health systems that are trying, generally speaking, to do good things as we've talked about, and that it won't just be a one-sided decision-making process on the government side of the fence, whether that's federal or state and local, that there's a bit more of a partnership-based approach in the future. No one here listening is going to be able to do anything about that, but I'm just going to put that hope out into the air.
Yeah, I think you're so right. It needs to be privacy needs to be top of mind. But to your point at the beginning, Matt, it's like, what's the goal of healthcare marketers? It's to help their consumers find the care that they need. And that's actually like a really good thing. So yeah, we need to strike a balance, because if I can't find the care that I need, and my wife can't find the care that she needs easily, that's not going to be good for our like quality of life and our health. I think, Chuck, the only thing I'll close with is that I think that we haven't heard the last of this. There's going to be more news, more changes. We've created a privacy hub on freshpaint.io. You can just navigate to it under resources. And we just did a webinar recently with a healthcare privacy attorney who's been doing it for 10 years. She went into some of the nuances of things that people should think about. So I promise you we'll keep putting more content out there. So if you're interested in kind of staying up to date on the news and up to date on like what the guidance is saying, like that's a great place to stay connected with us.
Absolutely. And Ray, if you want to share with me some of those links, I'm happy to put it into the description of the podcast. And like I mentioned when we started here, at the end of the podcast as well, we'll also give you details on the campaign we're running right now, where you actually can go and have your choice of three different health checks on your website. It's an Olympic campaign. I'll leave that link as well in the description and give you more information about that. Gentlemen, as always, I appreciate you joining. Like you both alluded to, we're probably going to do this again as the news continues to come out, but it's just great to get together, have a discussion, and let people hear from both of you who are on the front lines every day, just some really sound and wise advice about how to think of the current culture for healthcare marketing. And anyone who would like more information about how they can get in contact with Fresh Paint or more visibility and work with both of our agencies, again, all that will be in the description of the podcast. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, nice to see you, Chuck and Matt. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, if anyone's still listening, I'll throw in there, because I thought this was great with the Olympics campaign, one of my team members today, shout out to Nicole Green. She won the Agency Superstar Award for this month. We do a little questionnaire, and one of the things she said that she was watching was the Redeem Team, which I haven't seen, but now I need to go see. I think it was about the 08 Olympic and men's basketball team that came back after the 04 loss. And she had referred to it as watching it in her sort of like in the post-Olympics depression. Now that the Olympics are over, it's like, we love watching everything. What do we watch now? So great opportunity to get some post-Olympics depression reprieve by having an actual Olympian send you a message. So I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I think that 08 team, I think that was when Dwayne Wade was on the team, and he went absolutely bonkers in that Olympics. As a big Miami Heat fan, I highly recommend anyone check out the 2008 basketball team. Really, really good. Thank you both.
Thanks, Chuck.
See y'all. Thanks so much.